This summer, Triple M rocks Test cricket.
The ground you've batted on, of course, Malloy.
You've done your homework.
I have.
I should have gone out and inspected the pitch myself because I've actually batted on this pitch at the SCG. It was a Victor Trumper tribute match.
Yeah, nice.
And I was out for a duck. I got a good one early.
Who saw that coming?
I got a good one early from a very good bowler. I can't remember. It was either the base player for In Excess or Andrew Dado.
Oh, no.
One of the two. They were bowling from either end.
In tandem.
At the time. But I've copped a beauty on the pads. Right. And the umpire's given me out. And I've stood my ground. Yeah. I've said, mate, seriously, trigger finger. He actually goes, have a look. They've got the replay on the big board. I've gone back. It's hit me below the knee roll. I went, yeah, okay. Tucked the bat and off I went. So my one and only experience out there in the pitch.
It's good to be back on the M's, but unfortunately, as I said, it is raining. I think to keep the crowd entertained, they have old Cliff Richard at Wimbledon. I think Brett Lee needs to get out on those covers like they are a catwalk and just parade up.
You're the one for me.
And down and parade up and down. Maybe a bit of shirt off stuff as well.
You know his song, You're the One for Me, got voted alongside Chappelle Corby's record as the worst of the 21st century.
I liked it. And I got a copy at home. We might play some shortly. Kerry, I did feel like an intruder, but I did a function here a few years ago with the Sydney Swans.
Ah.
And Josh Kennedy, and I think it was Kieran Jack at the time, and they took us down. It was for corporates, down into the rooms. And as I said, I felt like an intruder, but they took us into the Australian room, and you could just almost smell the history seeping out of the walls. And, you know, they were saying, this is where Bradman sat, or this is where Hayden sat, or this is where Kerry O'Keefe sat, etc. But take us into that room and just describe it. To me, it felt like it hadn't changed since 1932 when the Don was playing there.
And it hadn't, because back in the day, the Cellarman was below the thing, and after we'd run out of our two slabs, we used to get a bat and smash it on the floor, and he'd bring up two more slabs.
You called?
You rang? The Cellarman's name was Sid Gibson, and he used to, the moment the bat was, I thought, oh, they're going to do a bit of shadow batting or oil it. And dun, dun, dun.
Sid?
And Sid would come up with a couple of slabs.
It is a great historic dressing room, though.
Oh, yeah, apart from that. No, but it is a great, it's one of the best. I love just sitting in the chairs there and observing it. It was just the best.
But that became a tradition, didn't it? I was speaking about this earlier, down in the cellar after a test had finished.
Yeah.
All the players would get together and then head down there. Is that correct?
No, we used to go down there if you'd fallen asleep.
Stone in defence.
And then bring our own slabs up. No, a tradition in the 70s, where whoever fielded, the batting side would come down and talk for an hour or half an hour and bring beers. And Ian Chappell insisted, no matter how badly he'd gone, that whoever was last on the field, they had a right to stay in their rooms, and that the batting side would come walk through the long bar with two bottles of beer. You didn't have to drink them. You just had to offer. We played New Zealand, and Glenn Turner walked into our rooms eating an apple. But they never talked to him for 5 weeks.
1 for 28, Pat Cummins, this impressive young fast bowler who's missed so much cricket. In fact, Beef, share with us the stat you just gave us off the air.
Well, I was coming back, coming from the airport. The driver said to me, he said, you know, Pat Cummins, he's never played at the SCG before.
It's his home ground.
Home ground.
Amazing, isn't it?
We should replace Chewy with that cab driver. More interesting stats coming from the cab driver on the way from the airport.
They know their cricket, Mick, that's for sure.
Well done.
When you sit and assess, it's actually not that surprising because he has had a devastating run of injury, Pat Cummins.
It's been frustrating because we've known he's so good ever since that devastating spell in South Africa years ago. Went, my Lord, he could be one of our best ever.
Yep.
And it's just been hard to get him on the park.
Yes. Well, he's done well this series. Yep. He's looked as threatening as anybody. Keeps running in.
The great hope, Beef, is that we get the same result out of Jimmy Pattinson, who's equally, if not maybe even more talented, but has an even more brittle body. Well, he's had the surgery, and chatting to Peter Siddle in Melbourne, he said his surgery's been a success. So I guess now it's just a matter of getting strong again and well, here's me telling you, you're the fast bowler in this conversation. I guess you don't ever know with those things, do you, until you actually have to do the act of bowling fast.
Well, yeah, he'll need to build it up slowly. You mustn't. The problem is that you get frustrated. I was out for a year with the back injury, and you know, it's a long time, a year. And you start thinking, oh, I think I'll be all right now. I could never bowl as I used to. But whereas DK, similar sort of operation, but he came back magnificently.
Yep.
I think it's just luck of the draw.
Well, fingers crossed for Jimmy P. Well, you at least had the batting to fall back on.
That helped.
Well, DK did, during his time, go back and play out for the Perth Cricket Club as a batsman.
Did he?
In the A-grade comp over there.
With his aluminium bat? Or his bat.
Is that where he developed the aluminium bat?
Do you remember that episode? That was one of the great moments.
I was bowling.
Oh, good Lord.
And he came out and he's got it, and I bowled with him, he's got a new ball. It came back as some of that sandpaper all over.
Those forward to cook. And that's the fine leg one run.
And Mike really said to me, look, Dennis, you can't have that. You never want to sort of upset Dennis too much.
No, that's right.
So you sort of go the gently
talk
approach.
Talk him down.
Yeah. But, and with that, he turned and hurled it about 6 feet.
It's an absolute monster. He is, in disgust, he is throwing the aluminium bat. What an incident. I remember watching that live going, well.
But he had a half volley. And he hammered it with this aluminium bat, and it trickled back to me. But you know, with half the ball missing,
was that the last we ever saw of the aluminium bat?
Yeah,
that should be in a museum somewhere. That bat.
Yeah, he would have taken well to being told he couldn't have it out there too, Dennis.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't seem overly pleased. No. And this bat went into orbit.
Yeah, he got hurled across the ground.
Yeah. I love Rodney Hogg being the 12th man too, sent to take the proper bat out there.
Out.
And he actually refused to go. So Greg Chappell, the captain, had to walk the bat out.
Wow.
Yeah, Hoggy's like, no, I'm not telling him.
Do we know what brand it was?
The Combat.
The Combat.
Yeah, it's called the Combat.
Was it the Combat?
I think it's
the one
in a museum
and only
somewhere.
Combat. Mm. That should be in a museum.
Yep.
That should be behind glass.
Yep.
The Combat. There you go. I've forgotten the name of it.
I remember it vividly. And it took a whole afternoon tea time for Greg to convince Dennis Lilly that he's not allowed to use it. So he went to go out of their rooms with a proper bat. Rod Marsh standing there said to him, you're not going to let him tell you. He turned around and got the aluminium one back again.
Just fresh from ironing his shirt, just to crisp it up a little bit for this session, is Brett Lee. Hello, Binger.
Hello. I actually changed my shirt.
Did you? Of course you did.
Because I came in this morning and spilt coffee all in the front of it, so I've ducked next door and picked up a newie, and here we are.
You're a one-per-session shirt man, typically, aren't you, Binger?
Well, when I was playing, I was.
HG Nelson, how would you describe the look that's sported by our man, Brett Lee, HG?
Well, it's immaculate. You start with his shoes and they look as though they haven't seen, well, pavement anywhere. Of course, that's the way Brett Lee travels these days, always in the back of an Uber or a cab. He hardly has to walk anywhere because, let's face it, he did a lot of bowling in his day. Then we come to the socks. The socks, obviously, Australian colours, you know, green and gold. Do I have to spell that out for people that Australian colours are green and gold? I just hope we're a bit beyond that. And the slacks. Well, the slacks. There's always movement in the trouser with Brett. He used to line it up on the third leg when he came in and just sighted it off the top of the third leg, straight onto the spot, and then obviously took the wicket. The shirt is too tucked in for mine. This is my only criticism of the Brett Lee ensemble. It should be out, and it should have, at least it's white, it should have some red cricket ball stains on it, and a little bit of stainage never hurt a cricketer as far as I'm concerned. The tie, obviously, he's let Australia down with the tie. He's gone for black and white in muted tones, and
you have to finish with the hair.
Yeah, the hair. Well, Binger's known for his hair. The hair comes slightly in advance of Binger, and you think, you beauty, Binger's coming. And as we saw before, he was absent for a long time. I saw the hair emerge, and I thought, you beauty, off the long run at the Paddington end, and he's at last arrived.
You now, beauty, Binger's coming.
Good to be here, boys.
The other thing with the spinner's skull in this game is they're going to enjoy Mitch Stark playing because they'll get nice big footmarks outside the right-hander's off stump. And it's interesting for me to always watch Cummins and Hazelwood. They do a lot of work around the wicket for the exact same reason. They leave Nathan Lyon with good stuff to work with, but it'll help the other two.
The best was Doug Bollinger, Bigfoot. Oh, dear.
Spinners love when Doug plays. He used to make a mess of a good length.
Big foot, big hair as well, Dougie Bollinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't big hair like the 80s, you know, hard rock bands.
No.
It was just a plastic top. Yeah, he went with Doug, didn't he?
I mean, that was the thing. He was told to lose 3 kilos, so he took off his rug.
Paddington End, he's bowling from here, Ish. Just a little bit of geography for you. Behind us here in the Bradman Stand is, I reckon, a K and a half to 2K skull of the best pub territory in Australia.
Ah, yeah.
There are 4 or 5 back here in Paddington that are all time. So when we used to come here in South Australia for South Australia playing in a day-night mercantile mutual game or whatever, and 9 times out of 10 got the nice comprehensive pumping to the point where all 50 overs weren't required, you'd bring your dancing shoes to the ground and just drift straight back into Paddington and lick your wounds. So back in here, Ish, just wander back at, after the conclusion of play, and it's some real good stuff.
I've been to the Paddington RSL.
Oh, the RSL.
A couple of times.
I'm not sure that's the best of them. The Paddington Inn.
It's not seated in the top 6.
Oh, no.
Are you winning, that, champion?
That was back in my days of being a student.
Oh. Crikey, Moses.
Oh.
Gotta be
good. Get on, you digger.
That's it.
Oh. So which ones should I have visited?
Right.
Well, definitely not the Pat O'Hare.
I thought you were saying the Paddington Inn, which is high quality.
I've been
Woolara
to the
Paddington Hotel.
Inn, yeah.
The Woolara is very, very nice.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Might head there tonight, the
very,
Woolara.
Very, very nice.
They're all low ceilings.
Yeah.
Perfect for me.
Yeah. Mm. Good.
Yeah.
You'd struggle.
Good for your height.
You'd struggle.
No, but that adds atmosphere, doesn't it? A low ceiling in a pub. You're used to that in England.
Yeah.
Paddington has a lot of low ceilings, don't they?
Yep.
But not at the RE.
No. Oh, no. That's like going to a Victoria's Secret party and leaving with one of the security staff. You're going the wrong way to the RSL.
It's like...
they do the ode at 11 o'clock. You probably thought it's pretty quiet around here.
Oh, come on.
It's like Kerry meeting up with Sue Barker.
Yes.
And then turning up to dinner and she hasn't arrived.
Yeah. Happened a lot. Why single her out?
Just watching James Vince, who requested a set of gloves to come running out, Skull and Ish. He went to go and get the gloves. Then he scurried back down to the middle to Shazam Ali Cook. Then he went and got the gloves. Now, call me old school Skull, I ain't Shazamming. I'm saying to anyone I'm dating with, I ain't Shazamming. I'm leaving you hanging.
You guys are more... bum smackers.
Yeah,
aren't
that's
you?
Better.
Yeah.
This is Shazam.
You love
is
a bum smack.
What we call seppo crap, in my view.
The Indians they like to touch bats.
Well, Skull, this whole sort of fist together business. I can't cop it.
I go and watch afternoon Saturday cricket on the Syntho, and every time they have a mid-wicket conference, there's a Shazam.
I'm not Shazamming.
Yeah. Even if it's a maiden overplay, Shazam.
What is that?
Who was it? Tom Curran hit one through the slips in the last game, and he went and Shazammed the other end.
Really?
Oh. I don't get it.
I don't mind a Shazam.
It's crept in.
I love a Shazam.
Well, you're younger than us, so you obviously played in the Shazam era. I was watching yesterday, speaking about the Shazam, I was watching the bowl games in the States, the American college football, had the Sugar Bowl and the Rose Bowl. And for me, if you're not an African-American wide receiver, don't try and be cool. That's my thinking.
Yeah.
Like, Australians playing cricket are Caucasian, uncool, often pasty-skinned, red-headed, freakish setups. Don't try and be cool with your business. Yeah. Just keep it nice and straight-ish.
Yeah.
You know, these are the coolest people on the planet, so they can do all that
stuff.
Yeah,
don't compete.
No.
Don't compete with
just
that.
Just leave it to the experts.
Yeah.
It's like when you walk through Los Angeles Airport. It's the ultimate in cool, isn't it? We're nothing.
No. We've got no game.
I think someone who realises that is Alistair Cook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stick his bat up.
That's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't carry on.
Yeah, like Viv Richards and, you know, back in the day, the West Indians, they were properly cool.
Mm.
So they can do what they want.
Oh, Viv Richards walking to the middle.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, you know, charge your hardest.
I think in life you've got to work out if you're cool or not. The moment you're not cool, just accept it.
That's it.
And not be a try-hard cool. Yeah. There's nothing worse than try-hard cool. Yeah. Do you like my boss suit?
Steve Waugh, a great example of mine.
Yeah.
Knew he wasn't cool, so never tried to be.
Mr. Cardigan.
That's it.
You know.
I've got no comment on your suit, Kerry.
No.
You are. I have to admit, though, you are styling it out. I think you should wear suits more often.
Yeah, my wife says that.
You look good next to Howie, although anyone could look good next to Howie.
Dear.
Oh, no. Oh. He's just copped the drive-by Howie in the back of the box. He's minding his own business. Suddenly he's riddled with bullets.
Vagrants of no fixed abode look better than Howie.
Lovely crowd in today, HG.
Wonderful crowd. I think it was sold out today. There's a few gaps here if you want to come down. I understand it's a gold coin donation from now on, especially if you come in the nude, because there is room now after a couple of sad injuries with sunburn. Even though it's not a particularly bright day, we, you know, obviously are warning people that if they are nuding up, suntan spray of some sort, some sort of sun protection, very advisable. Of course, the singles section of the crowd is absolutely going off.
Going off, going up. You have a bit of an obsession with people being nude, HG, today.
Well, I noticed
I'm surprised
that
you haven't turned up with no clothes on.
Well, I often do. I probably later in the afternoon. I was taken by course the problems of streaking in cricket, and it got me thinking that maybe people do want to watch the cricket naked, and hence the SCG came on board with this nude area for this particular match. I've got to say as though that I thought when the Mexican wave would go round that people would get shocked when the nudists stood up. But so far, they haven't, and I'm taken by that. I think it's a sophisticated crowd in.
New Zealand is the streaking capital of world sport.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, without question. You can bank on at least one, maybe two streakers a day when you play test cricket in New Zealand.
Poor security at the grounds, Skull?
Oh, zero. You know, they encourage it. Oh, amazing.
They obviously don't find them enough. What's the fine for streaking here at the SCG?
Oh, heavy.
Yeah, it's very heavy. Yeah. In fact, there was a discussion at some point about the difference in the fines for streaking at different Australian grounds.
Mm. You know, Australians turn up to say, will Steve Smith get 100? New Zealanders go to, will I streak or not today?
I wonder if Chu could look up penalties for streaking at various Australian grounds. I think I'm right in saying, Chu, Adelaide's the cheapest. If you want to streak, Adelaide's the place to go. And it varies by a factor of 10 from Adelaide to other grounds. Of course, they have no nude area in Adelaide, which may explain it.
Andrew Simon struck a blow for non-streakers when he shirt-fronted the Brisbane streaker that time.
That's
as good a shirt-front as I've ever seen.
Did he take him down, did he?
Oh, without question.
Nathan.
Very fierce.
And the media asked the streaker then at court, are you going to press charges?
I've just been told a couple of overs till tea, and we've got the Prime Minister in the commentary box with us, and Mick Molloy will join me as well.
But he had a good new year over in Kirribilli.
We'd had a good view of the fireworks.
Mm-hmm. As you did, Gus. We had a few different mishaps on the way to our party.
Why?
Do tell.
Well, just obviously we got in from the MCG. You're looking very quizzical. And from the MCG from Melbourne, we flew in, obviously waiting on those tickets to the Hugh Jackman party, Gus, and then found out that, you know, we were going to be left in the lurch. So myself, Rich and his father proceeded to wander down to the station to go to a party in Kirribilli. Anyway, long story short, the BBC guys basically ended up being stuck in the queue at the train station to get tickets.
You love a queue, the Poms.
To save us the hassle of having to queue as well, we asked them to try and get us a couple of tickets and we'd be on our way. Got one less than they needed to. And so we had to queue up once more. They obviously carried on, which is fine, for the 9 o'clock fireworks. We got to the platform, at which point the announcer says, Milsons Point, North Sydney, and the next one along, closed. So we were like, it's Rich's father's first time in Sydney. We need to get him down to the fireworks. Right, OK, we'll head down to the Rocks. Rich couldn't obviously get past security because he had lots of alcohol with him.
which he needs to get through your stories.
It's the second new Borgia yet.
Honestly, your stories go forever.
Continue.
All right. Anyway, so he had to go back to the hotel, drop off the alcohol. We went down to the rocks. I found the perfect spot, guys.
Well done.
The perfect spot, looking at the bridge. And I said to Bill...
It was a spit bridge, though.
I said to Bill, this is perfect. We don't need to go any further. It will just get really crowded. We won't be able to see anything. 9 o'clock fireworks start. We do not see a thing.
Wow.
Because, obviously, they wait for the fireworks at midnight for the bridge. And so all we could hear were the fireworks for about 10 minutes over to our right behind the trees, over behind the buildings on our left. So I was like, oh, this is devastating. I haven't been able to show him a good time. So
the 9 o'clock ones were on the barge,
yeah,
just
thanks,
floating
thanks
in the water.
Thanks for that, Gus.
Yeah. If you're up high, you can see them.
You know,
it's amazing.
If we'd have been at Hugh Jackman's party, it'd be fine. Anyway, long story, even shorter.
Biggest fallen asleep. You wake up, Benga. I'm touching it. Wake up, mate. Have a red frog. Some energy in here.
We ended up... Oh, I'm going to have to tell the rest of this in the next thing.
Oh, my God.
No, seriously. So we went back to the bar that Rich was at because he couldn't get through to meet us. Went to the bar. He got drinks, put them on the table, turned around. Someone had swiped them. So it was literally like a series of comical events in the lead up to us saying, forget this, it's 10:30, let's just try and get to the party once more. Managed to get there, saw the 12 o'clock fireworks, it was beautiful.
Is that it?
That's it. In Kirribilli with a great view.
It'd be easy to hire a DVD, wouldn't it?
Chewy's had some amazing stats this series, thanks to Nicorette. But the most amazing stat I've heard all series was the one you got out of Gus Warned leading into the lunch break.
That's right.
That is a stat that has floored me and all middle-aged men around the country.
Well, that's right. And a big hello to Mrs. Gus Warned and his lovely wife out there, who wasn't that happy about it, but he's 4 for 4 in the new year, Kerry. He's in career best form between the sheets. And I'd like to put a plea in to his wife. We'd love 5 for 5. Oh. We could organise somehow.
The drive for five.
We've actually had people ringing us up, and there's a motorbike who's rang up and said he was happy to hear that because he's 0 for 87. Give us a call if you can beat 0 for 87. We'd love to hear from you. But it's a fascinating stat.
This is a man that a story. I haven't got the full story. I'll go with the part I know. But you know that he's very tight with Hugh Jackman.
I do. Yes.
Very tight. Very good friend.
Hugh Jackman hasn't gone 4 for 4 on betting so far this year.
I wouldn't back against you.
No. I'm prepared to at the right odds bet that in.
There's part of a story going around that I haven't really been able to completely confirm. That
right.
Back in the day when Gus and Hugh were young men roaming around...
Tearaways.
They were spending time in England. Hugh was not yet a celebrity. Gus was not yet Gus. And they met a young lady in the bar by the name of Vicky, who had a friend.
We're changing these names, aren't we?
No. This name has not been changed. And Vicky saw Gus and saw Hugh, one of the best-looking men ever to come out of Australia, right. Hugh Jackman. And they went over to do a bit of chit-chat. And Gus and Hugh, there was two ladies, were chatting about which of the ladies they thought they might like to spend some time with. So these girls of the nursing fraternity were quite impressed with Gus and Hugh Jackman. Mm. And in the end, Vicky came down to have the choice between our man Gus and Hugh Jackman, who became one of the great superstars and best of
men ever. No-brainer. It's hardly a Sophie's choice.
Well,
here, is it?
Vicky looks at our man Gus, looks at Hugh,
done a stock take,
puts up her hand and says, I am all about Gus.
All in on Gus.
No.
So, goes all for Gus. Now, Vicky now plays the role. You know who Vicky is now?
What does she do in nursing? Like in a mental hospital? I mean, where?
This is a true story. You know who Vicky is now?
Mrs. Gus Warland.
Correct. Gus's wife.
She's obviously still into it.
I think she was a bit shattered when Hugh went on with his massive career.
Yeah, look, if she could travel back in a time machine, it would be interesting to see how the chips would fall.
Well, I'm not sure. You're serving up 4 from 4.
Well, 4 from 4. I'm wrapped for the big fella.
But
yeah, he's done a calf.
In those situations, you always go for the certainty.
We've got Kerry O'Keefe in here, and we're about to ask the great man some questions that have been framed by our audience. Ask Skull social media. And I'm looking forward to this. Graham Swan in as well. Actually, Swanny, you're not aware of this.
If Skull can wear a blazer, I'm wearing a blazer.
You both look $1 million, you two.
Thank you, mate.
$1 million lira.
Ask Skull. We've got a segment coming up here, but you can jump in on these answers too, Swanny. So let's get cracking at 3 for 162. Michael asks, Skull, what music do you listen to?
I listen to doo-wop.
Oh.
Nice, I like that.
I like doo-wop.
No nonsense, it's good.
I listen to doo-wop.
It's fun music, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's uplifting.
Uplifting. Eddie Holman. Hey There, Lonely Girl.
Is that like Manfred Mann, or is that even before then?
No, that's like Mersey Sound.
Yeah, Manfred Mann's just pop. Yeah. Mersey pop.
Yeah. The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh,
A whim away. Yeah, that sort of stuff. Yeah, I know. It peaked in 64.
Nice.
My era.
Many people let that era go.
Yeah.
For good reason?
Well, you might say for good reason, but not Skull. That's why...
I'm hanging on.
I think that's what makes Skull so special.
Yeah, I'm hanging on to the 60s.
I like it. Jaden, we're going to get to you in just a sec off Facebook. That was a Twitter question from Mike.
Doo-wop.
What is your weirdest experience in the years of cricket, broadcasting or playing?
Oh, definitely broadcasting, because I was a very intense, humourless player. And I'm less intense and... less humorless in commentary.
I'm sorry, but I think the best question's down here. It's an Instagram question.
We can ask it for us, Swanny. Who's it from?
It's from John. He says, if I've been at the pub all day on payday and I'm down to my last $20, do I go home to the missus and apologise for my sins or throw it all on the last adapto?
If you're Australian, you throw it all on the last adapto. Oh.
No stroke.
It's un-Australian not to.
Johnny.
She's probably busy anyway.
All right, Damo asked, who's the best in the Triple M cricket team to go on the drink with?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Oh, too busy dancing to doo-wop.
Yeah, but everybody has form in the Triple M commentary team. I mean, this is Group 1 class on the dribble.
I think the same man asks, who's better on the drink, yourself or Chua?
Well, I haven't got delusions of grandeur on the drink.
Delusions of grandeur?
Yeah.
There's Jacob,
my last cricket game was 2 years ago and I scored a golden duck batting at 9 and didn't bowl. Tonight I'm playing indoor. Any advice, Skull? Lawn bowls awaits.
Oh. Don't go there.
If you've gone to indoor...
Well, Endor...
Indoor.
The Forest Moon of Endor.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not Star
indoor
Wars, mate,
cricket.
Are you?
No.
Indoor.
Yeah.
Language barrier, sorry.
Yeah.
Final ball of the Mitch Marsh over, 3 for 160. Who's the commentary team is most likely to disappear when his or her round comes to the pub? Says Paddy.
No, we're a very generous commentary team. There's nothing miserly about us.
So you can't think of any?
Nobody.
Goes missing?
Nobody.
I've got one here. It says, is it true that if Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un start a nuclear war, the only things that will survive are cockroaches and that MCG pitch?
Yep. Hashtag us, Skull at Triple M Cricket.
Mm.
Why has Nathan the Goat Lion improved so much in this past calendar year? What can Moeen Ali learn from the Goat? This is something you can both answer.
Well, the good thing is that Nathan Lyon gets up and pulls down, and it's the strength of his loop that does, and the bounce he gets from that loop that makes him so much more difficult a proposition on these sort of pitches than Moeen Ali.
It's a belief thing.
Yeah.
Nathan Lyon believes he's going to get wickets when he bowls, so he has a lot more energy, a lot more energy through the crease, a lot more fizz in his action. Moeen Ali bowls as if he's just waiting to be taken off at the minute, so he's never going to get anyone out.
Mm. And he's never, Swanny, he's never lacked self-belief, Nathan Lyon.
But he never showed it before. There was a big difference. When we used to play him, he wasn't even thought of as a weapon for Australia because he was... His body language wasn't great. You were never in a battle with him. He was waiting for you to make a mistake. Now he gets in a battle.
Yep.
All right, what about Ryan? Who are the favourite player you played against? Hashtag ask Scully.
Yeah, the favourite player I played against was Peter Parfitt, Middlesex in England. Funniest guy I've ever met on a cricket field. I know he's about 90 now. You guys wouldn't know him, but what a character he was, Parf.
Graham Swan, the favourite player you played against?
I used to quite enjoy playing against Chris Rogers. He's good mouth. No, he's a great bloke, but lovely man. Lovely man. Yeah. Played a lot of county cricket. Played for more clubs. He had more clubs than Jack Nicklaus in England.
Yes.
But he's truly, if we could have adopted him and let him play for us, he would have solved our opening batting crisis when Strousey retired.
He used to tease him, didn't he? Because he couldn't use his feet and he didn't sweep. He used to, you were such a tease with your off spinners.
All right.
Well, the thing is, we'll share the worst bit of cricket in history.
Was that
for the rest
Durham?
Of our lives? No, it's at the Oval. It's at the home of cricket. Oh, I bowled the worst ball in Ashes history. He played the worst shot in Ashes history. Murray Rasmus made the worst decision in Ashes history, giving it out, LB. And then the batsman at the other end, too. I think it was Kawaja. I've been told it's Kawaja, but I blame Warner for it because I don't like him. it was the reverse non-review in history as well.
Yeah. Mate, it was a full toss. It would have been a T20.
Yep.
Free hit.
No, it hit him in the cockles.
It did. I thought it was Shane Watson. Or he'd burnt one earlier, and Buck didn't want to burn one.
They'd burnt one in the first innings. They'd got one wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good off-dinner story if I blame Warner.
Was it a good drop ball from you?
Great ball.
Yeah.
Great ball.
It was a head-high fully that dropped onto his waist, and Murray Erasmus gave it out LBW.
Just said, it was missing leg stump by 6 inches.
Yeah, it was going down as well.
It's very rare you get hit straight in the cods, to be honest.
With the ball
on
not bouncing.
On the full, yeah. So it's...
From a finger spinner.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh... To 3 for 171.
It was funny.
That's
in the
exact noise he made as well.
Yeah. Oh. Right, what about Mr. Moonshine? Skull, yeah. What do you now call Doug the Rug, given that he's lost his rug?
Oh, Doug. It's like, what do you call Postman Pat when he's on holidays? Pat!
Surely if he's lost his rug, you just call Douglas Rugless.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. Hey, we appreciate all the questions at Triple M Cricket. Ask Skull. We've not done this for the last time, don't worry.
Speaking of golden balls, I was at a party on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Oh, not another one of your stories. Last time she was on together, went...
Brett Lee left us.
Went 10 overs, Brett Lee left, and it had no punchline. It's got to be better, Ish.
Language warning, appropriateness warning, lots of warnings. Yeah. Keep going.
So, anyway, I was at this party. Thank you very much, Gemma, for allowing us into your apartment. An amazing view of
no one's
the fireworks.
Interested in Gemma.
Anyway, I met a guy from the Barmy Army called Paul Radley.
Oh, yeah, Radders.
We got chatting. Oh, you know him well?
I know him,
yeah. Okay.
I know Radders. He's a lunatic. Why was he letting into that party?
Oh. Gemma hadn't approved them being there. They just...
Squatters' rights.
Thank you, Gemma. Belatedly.
We all just turned up.
He would have been coming in
hot. The
place
was locked up. You picked the lock. Yeah, go on.
And we got on to the conversation of King's Cross, and he said that the other night he was walking through King's Cross and he came across a massage parlour called waynesmassage.com. And the sign...
All lowercase?
And all lowercase. All big case. And the sign on the front of the door... 4-minute free trial. That's all it takes for you two, isn't it?
Oh, I told you it'd be inappropriate.
Goo.
4-minute free trial for a massage.
Well, we're thinking shoulders
what
and back.
What is the point of that?
Shoulders and back. I don't know where you're thinking the hands are. What? Referee.
Oh.
We're happily married men.
Yeah. I'm a 68-year-old senior citizen. and you're going Wayne's Massage.
I think someone should try it. If anyone has an opportunity in Sydney to go down to waynesmassage.com, let us know how it goes.
We've got plenty of sponsors on this show. We don't need to give another free plug to this clown. What's the address? Just
tell us off air.
Yeah.
Do you get two free trials?
Oh, could hang on a second. Oh, I've just looked at the picture. Ah. Guess what the opening hours are?
What?
8 to 8:04
3 a.m. to 11 p.m. It's just not
cricket. The Discovery Holiday Parks. Triple M rocks the Ashes. Triple M rocks.